First John chapter number 2. You've been sitting for a while. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I ask you once, I'm going to ask you again. Are you glad you saved this morning? Are you glad that when we open this book, we don't have to have a question mark in our mind? I'm just glad you don't have a question mark in your mind. But you can say this morning, that book the preacher's fixing to read out of is the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. It's, my friend, listen, the seed, the incorruptible seed, Brother Steve, by which I was born again. And I thank God for His Word. Amen. Look what the Bible said in verse number 18. We'll be all over the chapter sometime. It might not be all over it this morning. We might not be all over it this afternoon. It's 20 minutes till 12. I guarantee you that's not going to be just a morning service. Somebody help me. But I want you to know this. At some point in time, God's going to take us all over this chapter. If we get through the message today, we'll go with it. If not, well then, beloved, we'll continue it at a later date, Lord willing. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time. How many say amen, John? I tell you what, God's just leading me to do this. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter number 1 real quick. Hebrews chapter number 1. I didn't plan on doing this, but here we go. What do you mean, the last time, preacher? That was written in the first century. Watch what the Word of God said in Hebrews chapter number 1. I'll get there in just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. How many knows what that's talking about? That's over there in that Old Testament, ain't that right? And the Bible said, hath in these, what's that next two words? Last days, spoken to us by His Son. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So what I'm trying to get you to see is, when Jesus came into the world and walked the face of this earth and bled and died, was buried, rose again the third day, everything since then is the last time. It's the last days. Amen. Now, I believe you and I that have a little bit of spiritual discernment could say this morning, it's the last, Brother Justin, of the last days. Honey, we're getting close to the finish line here. Amen. So the Word of God said, let me go back to Hebrews there just a minute. I didn't finish reading the verse. Hebrews chapter number 1 again. Let me just finish reading the verse. The Word of God hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, watch this now, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Hey, let me remind you of something this morning. How many believes that? How many believes that our God made the world? Well, Brother Wayne, if He made the world, you think He can take care of us? I believe He can. Why don't we act like it? Amen. You think He can take care of our country? Yes, He can. He's the only one that can. I can tell you that right now. Ain't no man's shoe leather going to take care of this mess. It's going to take the God of heaven. Watch now. Who being in the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. Glory to God. He's got this. He's going to uphold it. Till He comes. Watch this now. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You say, preacher, I wonder where the Lord's at in all this. Right where He was for all this. Sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. Glory to God. Now back to 1 John. I didn't mean to say all that, but it done did. Little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 20 is my message. The Lord has spoken to my heart. Look at verse 20. But ye have an unction. There's that word but again. In other words, there's Antichrist. Are y'all aware that there are a lot of people in our country that are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-church, anti-Christ, anti-righteousness, anti-good? Say amen. But God said, you have an unction from the Holy One. Notice what the Word of God said. Because you have an unction, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? Who's he talking about here that's already in the first century went out from him? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Let me tell you something this morning. We're going to pray and we'll preach. God helping us. Listen, beloved, you don't get to choose between the Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost. There's one God manifested in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people that will use the term loosely, Lord. We'll look at that in a little while. They'll use the term loosely, God. They'll use the term loosely, Father. But I tell you, when it gets down to the name of Jesus, there's a lot of people don't want to hear that. Say amen. But listen, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And he's the one that gave his life that you and I could have life forever. You can be seated. How many's praying this morning? Wave at me if you're going to pray for me and pray for this service. Amen. Let's pray together right now. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you for these precious people that are here today. I pray, Lord, you'll bless them. I pray, Lord, when they go out of this place today, they'll be able to say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I ask you, Father, this morning for a touch, Lord, from heaven, a touch, Lord, from out of this world, a touch and anointing of the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, today you'd speak to our hearts and help us, because, Lord, if you don't help us, we'll not get any help. Help that sinner, our Father, to come to know Jesus. Help the saints of God today to realize how important the Spirit of God and the unction from the Holy One is in our lives in these days. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach for a while this morning on this subject, the danger of function apart from unction. The danger of function apart from unction. Let me say this to you this morning. You don't even have to believe it. I pray to God it never happens in this preacher's life. I pray to God it never happens in our church's life. But I'm telling you, beloved, there are churches today that can have church with or without him. There are preachers today that can preach with or without him. There are fathers today that can lead their home with or without him. At least that's the way they go. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen, God's people need an unction from on high. We need unction in the pulpit. We need unction in the pew. We need unction in our homes. We need unction in our country that comes from the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Baptists have quit talking about the Holy Ghost. You want to know why? They're afraid somebody will label us Pentecostal. I'll tell you something. Listen, beloved, listen. There were Baptists anointed with the Holy Ghost before they ever got here. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God wants us to understand that we need an unction. We can't raise our family without that unction the way God wants us to raise it. You can't pastor a church without that unction the way God wants you to pastor it. You can't reach a community the way God wants you to reach a community without that unction from God. And beloved, largely, for the most part, it's missing in these days. The Word of God talked about the Antichrist. And I'm going to tell you where church is at most of the time. It's where church is at today. They're looking out yonder and they're saying, well, that's the problem. They're looking over yonder and they're saying, well, that's the problem. They're looking up there in Chicago and saying, that's the problem. Now, let me just say a word about Chicago. Beloved, listen. Those people that are protesting and burning things down and shooting one another is supposedly all over slavery. Listen to me carefully. I didn't mean to say this morning, but I'm going to say it. Listen to me. How many of you have ever watched some of them old movies? Have you ever watched some of them old slaves, Brother Steve, sing Amazing Grace out there in the field? You say to the preacher, are you for slavery? Why, no. Are you crazy? I'm not for slavery. What I'm telling you is this. White or black, red or yellow, you'd be better off out there in the field, a slave to man, singing a song for God, than you would both being free from man and a slave to sin. What's going on in our country? Beloved, listen, it's not because men are slaves to a man master. They're slave to Satan. He's their master. We have an unction from the Holy One. I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, just because you've been saved, don't mean the old devils give up on you. He wants to make you a slave again as well. He wants to draw you back and pull you back and keep you down. He wants to keep you defeated. Oh, beloved friend, there's a danger. A function apart from unction. Let me get into a couple things here. Brother Stennett believes in heaven. Brother Stennett made a statement years ago. He said you need to be careful that you don't just have action, but that you have unction. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. God's people sometimes are deceived. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, man might run back and forth across here, and I guess most people think I preach like a wild man. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You can look like a wild man and not have the unction of the Holy Ghost. You can jump up and down, run the aisles, walk back to the benches and not have unction. Or you could stand here in a monotone. Beloved, listen, when Jonathan Edwards preached the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, He wrote it and rewrote it and wrote it and rewrote it and stood up and read it, and people fell under Holy Ghost conviction because there was an unction from heaven on his life. We need unction in our soul winning. We need unction, amen, in raising a family. We need unction in the pulpit. We need unction, Brother Ralph, in our singing even. We need unction when the choir can get back in the choir. We need God to anoint. Beloved, that's what the word unction means. It's talking about an anointing. Look at verse 27. The word of God said, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things and is truth. Y'all remember over there in John, I believe it's chapter 16, when Jesus promised he was going away, going to send another comforter. Then he said, I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. And he said, he will guide you into all truth. When the Word of God says here, even up here in our verse, you have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things. That's not talking about being omniscient like God. Knowing all things. I don't know algebra, and I have no desire to know it. Say amen. Algebra wouldn't have helped me one bit in this world. I can read a tape measure. I do know ought and ought's ought. Amen. I can add. I can subtract. I can divide most of the time. But I want to tell you something right now, beloved. That's not talking about knowing all things, because Paul would even tell us that it's not the wisdom of man, but it's the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It's not enticing words of man's wisdom that gets the job done. When he said you know all things, what he's talking about here is just listen. We've got people here that are not even including the Father and the Son. They went out from us. They were not all of us. Let me tell you something. You've never been born again if you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. If you don't believe, I'm going to nail her down. If you don't believe Jesus was born of a virgin, you've never been born again. If you don't believe this precious old book, beloved, listen, it's the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. Yet to be born again of an incorruptible seed, the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. He said, preacher, I believe he was born of a virgin, but I'm not sure. Oh, by the way, I'll call his name, Don Lemon. I can't remember exactly what he said, but this is what he was talking about. Everybody knows that Jesus wasn't perfect. No, everybody don't know that, Don. Say amen. Some of us are Bible believers. Some of us believe he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. You can make a statement like that to try to cover your own sin up if you want to, but that don't change the fact. God is alive. Jesus lived a perfect life. And preacher, I believe you believe Jesus born of virgin, lived a perfect life. That's all you need. Oh, no, no. You better get to Calvary. Beloved, he took our place there. That's what John's talking about. It's the Spirit of God, an unction that lets us know our Savior died. But that's not all. They put him in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. Oh, I think about that guy who was a Catholic and he got saved. I think about that boy, bless my heart. He got saved. His wife got saved. They come by selling them grave plots. They got through with their presentation. And that fellow said to that man that had just got saved, he said, "You have any questions?" He said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "What is it?" He said, "You got any of them to rent?" He done went and learned that Jesus come, that Jesus was born of a virgin, Jesus lived a sinless life, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose again, and Jesus was coming back. And when he did, we're coming out of the grave. He figured, what's the use to buy something when you ain't going to need it very long? Just rent it to me for a few days. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, that guy was out of his mind. No, I believe he found it. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. You don't have to fear the grave if you know these things. You don't have to fear a virus if you know these things. You don't have to fear a gun if you know these things. You don't even have to fear politicians if you know these things. Amen. David, I once was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed a begging bread. Hallelujah. What a Savior. You say, preacher, what is the danger? Brother Blue said, don't mistake the action for unction. I'll tell you something. When you talk about that anointing, that's what they did to kings. That's what they did to priests, Brother Steve. Did you know that God called us a royal priesthood? Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. A lot of us is wasting our priesthood. What God has done when he saved us has given us access into the holiest of all. He said, but you have an unction. Watch this now. Let me get into the message. The danger of function apart from unction. 5 minutes till 12. I shouldn't have told you that. Amen. We started at 11 o'clock sharp, but we'll never be guilty of ending at 12 o'clock dull. Amen. I want to get in the Word of God, don't you? You say, what have you been doing introducing the message? Trying to. Watch this now. My wife's laughing at me. No, let me rephrase that. She's laughing with me. Amen. Watch this now. Function apart from unction. The first thing I want to give you in the message, probably as far as we'll get today, is there's a danger concerning our faith. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me say this to you this morning. There's a lot of people that's made a profession that do not have a possession. There's a lot of people, beloved, listen to me carefully, in this world. You say, preacher, you can't make a statement like that. Well, Jesus said it like this. Many will say, he didn't say a few. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Beloved, listen. There's a function. They might have signed a card. They might have walked down an aisle. They might even have knelt in an altar of prayer. They might even have been in a water hole. They might even have every Sunday school pen. But I'm telling you, beloved, if there's a function in your faith and there's no unction in your faith, you're lost without God. You can't get in without the work of the Spirit of God. He's the one that came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Thank God this morning. You say, Pastor, let me give you something a little bit stronger than that. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, I'm talking about the danger of function apart from unction. Y'all might not believe this, but I'm going to read you some scripture and prove it. There are pulpits in America and around the world where a man is functioning that does not have any unction. Yeah, you can say whatever you want to, honey. Listen to me. You got a sodomite standing in the pulpit, there ain't no unction. Say whatever you want to. You got a woman standing in the pulpit, there ain't no unction. How can there be unction from the Holy One when you go against His holy word? There's not. Now, if I made this statement this morning, would you believe me or would you not? If I told you the devil's got preachers, would you believe me? Watch what the Word of God said. We're over here in 2 Corinthians. Did I give you the chapter and verse? Did I or not? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 13. Notice what the Word of God said. The Apostle Paul's preaching to the church of Corinth. He said, for such are false apostles. In other words, Brother Steve, there's real apostles and there's false apostles. In other words, there's the real gospel that you taught us about, brother, preached to us about on the video, and then there's another gospel. There's a faith that's real, and there's a faith that's fake. Let me just say this to you. Everything God has that's good, Slewfoot's got a counterfeit for it. He's in the counterfeiting business. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Woke up one morning and decided they wanted to be a preacher. They decided that would be an easy way of life. And for many it is. I'll tell you why. Because they're hirelings. They care nothing about the flock. They've not laid awake one night praying for anybody in their church. They don't care. I'm going to tell you something right now. A shepherd cares. A shepherd loves. A shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. Watch this. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the biggest drunk down at the bar room. That ain't what it says, is it? That's where everybody's looking for Satan. They're not looking for him in a pulpit. But I'm going to tell you what right now, listen to me carefully. I'm talking about the danger of function apart from unction. Even in the pulpit in America and around the world, there's men, or you might leave. Let me just say this. Years ago, my grandmother, I'm going to say it. I'm not going to name any names. But my grandmother said this. She kept on my grandfather, kept on. My grandfather was traveling, preaching a lot in different churches. I want you to go. I want you to go hear this man. I want you to go hear this man. I want you to go hear this man. And so my grandfather gave in and went. Sat through one service. One. One service. They left after church and Granny looked over at Grandpa and said, honey, what'd you think? This is what John, my grandfather, said to my grandmother. Said, Della, if there's ever a snake in the grass, right there he is. You're grinning, Brother John. You probably heard Brother Jack say something like that before. Amen. You say, preacher, what was the difference? Oh, he looked good. He sounded good. He had a good message. But I tell you, it took somebody with a little bit of unction on them to discern the difference. And I want you to just know this. It wasn't a week. It wasn't a month. It wasn't a year. But several years went by and it came out. He was a snake in the grass. Just like Grandpa said. You say, Pastor, you've lost it. No, 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 no. When it concerns your faith, you better make sure you've got something besides function. Function will take you to church, but it won't take you to heaven. Function will take you to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but it won't take you to heaven. It takes unction. The Spirit of God. Let me give you this. Three things quickly. I'm down to the message now. Under the first point in four. Let me give you this morning. I hope I'm helping somebody. Listen, by the way, beloved, listen. The Apostle Paul said this. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, I'd rather know now than to know too late. A lot of people's going to know too late. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Word of God transforming themselves into an angel. And the Bible said this, I didn't read the other verse. And no marvel if his ministers also be transformed into angels of light. So not only is Slewfoot himself transformed. By the way, where does the enemy sow the tares? Where does he sow them? Brother Anthony, does he sow them at the bar room? Does he sow them at the bank? Does he sow them at the grocery store? Does he sow them at the Walmart? Bob, no, the enemy sows the tares among the wheat. He knows what he's doing. He's trying to destroy you and trying to destroy me. The Bible said, be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, he still hates you. He still hates me. He still hates our church. He still hates our families. By the way, I believe he hates our country. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Brother Steve, if you put that picture of the youth up there. You've told me before about there's several that made it in youth groups where you've had the privilege to be a part of. And boy, that makes you just so thankful. But it brings a burden, don't it, Brother Steve, when you see the multitudes that went the other way. That went the other way. They got their eyes on this world. Got their eyes off of Jesus. One of the reasons we have, I think, such great success at camp with the youth is they can't have a cell phone. You say, preacher, that's not nice. It's a truth. Boy, God would help us all if we'd lay it down for a little while. Turn the TV off for a little while. Think about this. I told my wife this morning, I can't come down there. I'll stay up here. But I want to. I'm driving somebody crazy with that camera, ain't I? God bless you, honey. I ain't got far to drive, have a Rachel. Amen. I love you, baby. You're awesome. Amen. I can't say much for you, Daddy, but you're awesome. Amen. Let me tell you something. Years ago, Brother Grizzle, you and Miss Peggy will know. I'm telling you that this because they're the younger people in our congregation. Y'all can remember when Mama didn't have no dishwasher. Mama didn't have no washing machine. Mama didn't have no dryer. She had a string many times tied between two trees. They didn't even have nice clothesline poles like I made for Miss Eve years ago. Say amen, Miss Eve. Heavy duty. You can run square into them with a truck and they won't bend. You say, preacher, why'd you build them so strong? Because I knew she was going to load them down. Listen to me. Mama didn't have a microwave. Wait a minute, Brother Anthony. Mama's going out back. What's she going out there for? Stove wood. She's going to carry it in, Bob, and she's going to raise that cast iron lid on that stove. I'm right, ain't I, Miss Peggy? And she's going to put that wood down in there on top of some paper, and she's going to light it, and she's going to let it get fired up. By the way, after a while, you're going to have some of the best beans and cornbread and fried taters that you've ever tasted in your life. There's something different about cooking on a wood stove. Say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Would somebody raise your hand if I'm telling it right? Brother Larry's sitting back there, drools running out of the corner of his mouth right now. Glass of milk. Some of y'all like that buttermilk. God help you, but I like milk. Amen. I can't put anything in my mouth. I can't get past my nose. Amen. But here's that woman. Wait a minute. You know what we got today? We got mothers with dishwashers. Mothers, this is them with running water in the house. I mean, that mother had to go out there to the well and get some water and come in and pour it in a basin to clean the dishes up. And if she wanted hot water, she heated it on the stove. Then they come out with that modern thing where the stove itself had a well inside of it where the water heated up. Y'all shaking your head, amen? But here's what I'm going to tell you. A lot more of them mothers had unction than mothers today. What do you mean, Brother Steve? They could sing Amazing Grace while they was washing clothes on a scrub board. They could pray for their family. They had time to pray. They had time to read their Bible. They had time to thank God. And now we got more time-saving devices than we've ever had in our life and less time than we've ever had in our life. Say, Pastor, I don't know what that's got to do with anything. Think about it. Beloved, I'm telling you. Listen to me. Years ago, I can't remember the... Oh, yes, I did. God just brought it back to me. Virginia Slims. You remember that cigarette? I never did smoke them because I wasn't man enough. I turned green when I tried to smoke. I turned green when I tried to dip. And I turned green when I tried to chew. And I thank God I turned green. Has one less thing to deal with. I had enough to deal with when I got saved. Amen. Virginia Slims, their commercial said this. You've come a long way, baby, to get where you've got to today. How many knows what I'm talking about? You know what we've done? We've come a long way. Let me tell you where we're at. We're a long way away from God. We're a long way from that life of unction. We've learned how to function apart from unction. If God does what I want Him to do, in this message, I believe it ought to cause every person to examine themselves. But I believe it ought to cause us to want to be a different father. I believe it ought to cause us to want to be a different mother, a different papaw. I believe it ought to cause us to want to be different on the job. I have to speak to somebody. Lord, would you help me to be real careful to speak to them like I would want someone to speak to me. To deal with them like I would want someone to deal with me. The Word of God is talking about here, number one, our faith. I want you to see a couple of things here quickly. Our faith, number one, in our past. You ought to go back and examine what happened back yonder in your past. For me, it was February 22nd, 1987. I think we started Sunday night service at 7:30, didn't we, honey, in that church? I believe we did. 7:30 on Sunday night. You say, preacher, did you like that? It sure made for a nice afternoon nap. Amen. But I didn't go to church that night looking for him. But he came to church that night looking for me. There ought to be a beginning. The Bible said being born again. The Bible said you must be born again. Yeah. On my birth certificate, there is a time, there is a date, and there is a place. Johnson Memorial Hospital, Abingdon, Virginia. I'm almost sure, Miss Eve, it's 8:10 in the morning and New Year's Eve, in case you want to forget my birthday. New Year's Eve. Well, is there a time, a date, and a place where you know that God picked the load of sin up off of you? And you were born again, your life changed? You say, preacher, why do you say your life changed? Because the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a danger of function. You don't have to hang around church long. You'll learn the language. You'll learn what to say, when to say it. Bob's sitting over there and he's shaking his head. He grew up with a daddy that was a preacher, a daddy that was a missionary, traveling from church to church to church. Bob, you've heard more and some of the best preaching that's ever been done in America in your life. But there had to come a time when it was just Bob and Jesus. One-on-one. And he had to do business with Jesus. That means there had to be a willingness to turn from his sin. Oh, beloved friend, I'm going to tell you something right now. Examine yourself. Make sure. Brother Houston, you're going to break this preacher's heart. If I find out one day after a while, somebody went to hell from a pew at Bible Way Baptist Church. Brother John, I thought about you this morning as I was praying and thinking about the message. Here's what I thought about. Brother John has stood up here and taught us in Sunday school. He said, there have been times I've prayed. And he said, there have been other times I've prayed. How many can remember him saying something like that? You know what the difference is? Hey, shake your head at me if I'm right, Brother John. Unction! That's the difference. You can go through the motions. Go through the motions in prayer. Go through the motions in Bible reading. Go through the motions in inviting somebody to church or telling somebody about Jesus. But beloved, when there's an unction involved, it changes everything. I remember Brother John saying another thing. I heard and I heard and I heard, but one day I heard. He said, preacher, I wouldn't talk like that. Well, I understood. He spoke a language I understood. You know what made the difference when he finally heard? Unction. The Spirit of God made it real to him. I don't know about this. I can't speak for other preachers. Brother Grizzle, one of the first things you said to me when I started pastoring this church, I remember where you met me, Brother Bill William, right back there behind where you all are sitting. Brother Grizzle was talking about the judgment seat. He said, Pastor, I'm not looking forward to it. Am I right, brother? Let me ask you this. If that man ain't looking forward to it, which one of us ought to be looking forward to it? You say, preacher, why did you say that? Because I know, Brother Steve, in my spirit, I know it's the truth. There have been times I stood in that pulpit and all I was doing was functioning. And there have been times I've stood in this pulpit and known the joy of having an unction from on high. Our faith in our past. You say, Pastor, why did you say that? Well, think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, about every time he'd get up, Brother Wayne, he'd take you back to the Damascus Road. He's saying, buddy, ain't something happened back yonder. But it's not only about our faith in our past. It's about our faith in our present. Last week, I think we looked at the verse, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There had to be an unction back there when we got in. But we need an unction every day of our life. We need the Spirit of God. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm asking because if I'm guilty of something, I figure there's probably somebody else guilty too. When's the last time you asked the Holy Ghost to fill you? We've gotten away from that, haven't we? Brother Steve, you know the Bible. You do a great job with it. The Holy Ghost indwells us only one time. He seals us only one time. But Jesus said, which of you, if you ask for bread, would your father give him a stone or a fish? He said, I'll give the Holy Spirit to him that asketh. That's not talking about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit or the seal of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. God's helping me. We don't need any more dry singing. We don't need any more dry sermons. We don't need any more dry services. What we need is an unction. Our hearing even needs to be unctionized, anointed. God, don't just anoint my lips, but anoint the hearing of the Word of God. Our present, then our future. Watch what the Word of God said. Well, let me just give it to you like this on our present. Let me back up. Look at verse 6 in chapter 2. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk. How are we supposed to walk? You're supposed to walk like a preacher walks? You better not. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Preacher might fall. Are you supposed to walk like your daddy walks? Like your mama walks? Like your brother walks? Or are we supposed to walk like Jesus walked? Can I tell you something about that? We'll never be able to accomplish that apart from the Spirit of the living God. He's the one that can help me to walk like he walked. Apart from that, I can't do it. Paul, when he was talking about forgiveness over there in the book of Corinthians, he told them they needed to deal with the sin in the church, and they dealt with it. The man got right, and then they wouldn't forgive him. And Paul had to go back and tell them in a letter, you need to forgive him. He said, to whom I forgave anything, in the person of Christ forgave I it. You know what Paul was doing, Brother Stevie? He was walking as he walked. Jesus wasn't looking for somebody as he walked this world that he could hold a grudge against. He was looking for somebody that he could forgive. He wasn't looking for somebody to bury. He was looking for somebody that he could touch and give them life. He wasn't looking for somebody to condemn. He told that woman taken in adultery in the very act, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Unction. There's a danger of function apart from unction. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I didn't plan on it. How many's ever heard stories about the preacher running off with the pianist or a deacon running off with somebody in the choir? You know what they've done? They functioned for years together. But they didn't have no unction. I'm telling you, beloved, God wants to help us. I'm not saying this to condemn anybody that's been divorced. I'm not saying that. But the truth of the matter is, it's as common in the church as it is outside the church anymore. What's happening many times is there's a function in the home, but there's no unction from the Holy One. God wants to help us. Miss Eve and I have been married over 40 years. If she don't straighten up, we're not going to make it another year. That is funny, ain't it? Y'all know me well enough to know who needs to straighten up. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother Steve. I look at you and Miss Cindy, and I just see the picture of love, the picture of marriage, the picture of what God would want in a home. But here's what I'm going to say. Miss Eve and I are not exempt. Brother Steve and Miss Cindy are not exempt. You've got something precious in your home, Brother Houston, guard it. We need life. We need homes with unction. Homes that know the Spirit of God and the anointing that God has. The last thing in the message. Y'all don't mind me preaching a little bit long since we're only doing it once, do you? Is that okay? It's too late to ask permission now, ain't it? The last thing in the message. Our faith in our past, our faith in our present. What about our faith in our future? You say, Pastor, where'd you see that in the text? Look down in verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in Him. Let me ask you a question. I want to see if anybody's paying attention in the message. Can we abide in Him by functioning only? I told Miss Eve what I was preaching on this morning, and Miss Eve looked at me, and this is what she said. Going through the motions. That's what a lot of people are doing in their marriage. They're just going through the motions. That's what a lot of people are doing, listen to me carefully, in the church. They're just going through the motions. Brother Steve's got a burden on his heart. It came out in his teaching, and he's told me. He said, Pastor, I'm afraid some people are never going to come back. Well, I'm going to just say this. If all you have is a habit of going to church, you ain't got much. And if a virus is all it takes to knock you out, you ain't got much. We need to be careful. We really do. We've taken the steps to try to be careful. And we're going to continue to do that. I want to hug your neck. I want to shake your hand. But there'll be a time for that. You say, Preacher, what if it never goes away? There'll still be a time for that. There won't be nothing like that around the throne of God, Miss Brenda. I won't even have no stinking flesh to hinder our fellowship then. The Bible said, little children, abide in Him that when He shall appear. How many believes He's coming? That's what you sang about a while ago, Brother Anthony. The same God that provided for Isaac that day. He's coming again. The Word of God said, when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Let me tell you this. Let me wrap this message up like this. Believe me, I had four things to preach that I thought. We got through one. We done good. Brother Steve, those, they might even be going through the right motions. Church, reading their Bible, praying. But those who are just going through the motions when Jesus comes, Brother Gary, will be ashamed before Him at His coming. But those that are not just living under function, but there's an unction. They've learned how to say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me. They've learned how to say to the Lord, Lord, I love You. They've learned how to say to the Lord, Lord, thank You for a good night's rest. And it comes from right here. They've learned instead of griping on their way to work on Monday morning, say to the Lord, Lord, thank You for a job. Thank You I can feed my family. Thank You we got something to eat. Those who are just functioning will be griping because the steak is not cooked exactly the way they want it cooked. But those who are living under an unction, look at a peanut butter cracker and say, how many of those youngins, Brother Grizzle, in Papua New Guinea would give anything for that peanut butter cracker? I'm not saying you, I'm saying we. We're spoiled rotten. That's one of the things we're seeing manifested in these cities. A bunch of brats spoiled rotten. That man in New York leaned over, I don't know if you saw it or not, and hit that officer in the top of the head. I don't know what kind of a club that was he had. They said it was a bat. It didn't look like a bat to me. It looked like a piece of pipe. I don't know what it was, but it busted that man's head wide open. You got a mayor up there that'd like to set him back out on the street quicker than they put him behind bars. This was true when God created man. Right was right and wrong was wrong. This was true when Jesus came into this world. Right was right and wrong was wrong. And this is still true today, Brother Ron. Right is right and wrong is wrong. We need an unction. How many would say amen? We need an unction. Sister Becky, would you come to the piano, please? We won't sing, Brother Ralph. And if you look up this way and people are about 6 feet apart on the altar talking to Jesus, you don't want to come up this way, or you want to come to the front pew. You don't want to come that far. I believe there's some of us today that needs to say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me for just going through the motions. You see, the judgment seat of Christ does not only reveal what we've done, but when it says our works are tried so as by fire, it reveals why we did what we did. It's possible to preach for the right reason. It's possible to preach for the wrong reason. It's possible to sing for the right reason. It's possible to sing for the wrong reason. It's possible to give for the right reason. It's possible to give for the wrong reason. It's possible to attend church for the right reason. It's possible to attend church for the wrong reason. I have actually known of a couple instances in my saved experience where men actually said it. It's good for my business. It's election time. I'm going to tell you something right now. If a politician only goes to church when it's election time, God help him. Amen. We love Jesus. We love him always. If you're here today and you don't know him, beloved, I'm telling you this, he's coming. It's getting in time. If you're here today and you've been saved and you'd like to make that public, you can do that today. You can come and tell the church what God has done for you. If you're here today and you've been saved and you need to be baptized, you can come. If God's put in your heart to join this church, you can do that. I want you to know this. I believe God wants some of us to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going through the motions. How many of y'all know the difference? How many knows both sides of that coin? Come on, help me. Raise your hand up there. You done the right thing, but it wasn't in your heart. Let's pray.